It's good to hear a little bit of Hubble being here, isn't it? It's nice to talk. Okay. We welcome you to the service this morning. The notices for next week are as follows. There's a prayer meeting on the 29th of April at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday the 1st of May, it's the church cafe at 10 a.m. in the church hall and the craft group at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday, the 3rd of May, it's the youth celebration. So the youth team will be leading that service next week. And an advance notice, it's the funeral of Chris Rees on Tuesday the 19th of May, 12:15 at the church and 1:30 at Canley Crematorium. I'd like to welcome John to the service this morning to lead us in worship. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Our call to worship comes from a few verses in Psalm 92. It says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God." So the psalmist there, he likens the righteous to a flourishing palm tree, to this huge cedar of Lebanon. And so witnessing the beauty of nature around him, he is inspired to return praise to God. And I think we should do the same as we launch into this morning's service with our opening hymn, "For the Beauty of the Earth." So let's commit this time together to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that this morning we can indeed bring a sacrifice of praise. It is indeed a joy and a privilege to be able to join here among your people and worship you openly and freely. And so as we come this morning, I pray you would take away any distractions, Lord, that would divert depart our minds away from you. Perhaps our hearts are distracted, Lord. Just still us now in the quietness. We might hear your voice. that you might presence yourself among us in a very real way. And we just thank you, Lord, for that amazing promise where you said that where but two or three are gathered, there you also in the midst. We would remember also those who are not here with us. Perhaps they're having a time of refreshment, or perhaps they're suffering from ill health, Lord. You know their circumstances, and wherever they are, Lord, we know that you can be with them also. So dwell among them, comfort them, encourage them at this time also. And so, Lord, as we wait upon you, I pray, Lord, that you would give us open hearts, open minds, Lord, to receive your good word, that we might take from it and learn and ultimately become more like you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we're going to continue to consider all the wonderful works that his hands has made as we sing How Great Thou Art.
I see.
So it's wonderful that we can bring a sacrifice of praise to our dear Lord. Another form of worship is in our giving monetarily. So at this time, we take up our gifts and offerings. Let us commit these gifts to the Lord in prayer. We thank you that you are indeed a faithful God. Come sunshine or rain, day or night, you are faithful to the end. And so as we think about your faithfulness, I pray, Lord, that we would turn back to you with gratitude and thankfulness. And so with these gifts, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would indeed be from a grateful and a thankful heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would use these gifts for the extension of your kingdom, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our Bible reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 15. It is about a gardener who is tending to his vine to make it as fruitful as possible. John 15, starting from verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. And you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Amen. So Jesus there explained how he is the vine and we are the branches. And so being so connected, we become one. We share one another's nature. And as we grow, his desires become our desires. His hurts become our hurts. This is the way of walking closer to the Lord Jesus. And so our next hymn, it sort of gives voice to that longing. And so I think it could be sung as a personal prayer that the mind of Christ would live in us from day to day, that the mind of Christ would influence everything we say and everything we do, to shape our choices, to guide our actions, and even steadying our words. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. Thank you. Now that we're well into spring, I imagine that we have some keen gardeners among you here. So you'll be spending a lot more time tending to your gardens or perhaps to your allotments. Because so this is the wonderful season where everything starts to push upwards and we start to see these lovely flowers and fruit arriving. Blossom on the trees. Shoots that were once hidden but now making themselves known. And you'll notice that the days are stretching out longer and longer. Now, from the Bible readings and also from the Chaucer songs, I don't know if you noticed a thread running through the worship this morning. That thread is plants. I'm talking about plants today. We read about how the righteous flourish like a palm tree, like a cedar of Lebanon. We sang, "When through the woods and forest glades I wander." And we just heard the words of Jesus saying, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And so scripture is full of this language about plants. From the opening chapters of Genesis right to the final pages of Revelation, God keeps on pointing us to plants, saying, look and learn, pay attention. And so today, I thought it would be good if I invited you on like a gentle stroll to walk through what I've called God's botanical library. So we're going to look at five plants, five lessons, and five ways in which God invites us to grow. So let's start off with this one, example one, the leafy plant, the gift that doesn't last. So there's a passage from Jonah chapter 4. I don't know if you know the story, but Jonah is sitting there outside the city. He's just run away from the Lord, and the Lord's trying to bring him back, and he's angry. He's exhausted. And so God, in his kindness, he provides this leafy plant. It's got broad leaves, and he makes it grow overnight. Okay, a supernatural growth there. And it gives Jonah some shade. Isn't that nice? It's a small mercy, a much welcomed moment of relief. And Jonah, he loves it. What a wonderful provision there. He loves the comfort, the coolness, the shelter from the blazing heat. But then this plant mysteriously withers just as fast as it popped up. And now Jonah's reaction is extreme, very extreme, to the degree he even complained to God, "It would be better for me to die than to live." He's lost all sense of proportion. He's lost one comfort and he totally unravels. The plant was never the problem. Jonah's heart was the problem. You see, God uses the plant and then the loss of the plant to expose Jonah's misplaced priorities. He didn't know what was important and what was frivolous. He had a fragile emotional connection to the world. He didn't know what was important. And so God challenged him with this gentle but piercing question. And he says, should you be so concerned about a plant that appeared overnight and then died overnight? And so that was the reality check for Jonah. A reminder that earthly comforts are but for a season. They are gifts, not gods. They are blessings, but not foundations. And so the lesson we can learn here is that by all means, enjoy the shade that God gives you, in whatever form that might be. But don't love the shade more than the one who provides you that shade. Don't cling to those things that are temporary more than you would the eternal. Basically, don't build your life under a plant that will one day wither. Instead, surely it is beneath the shadow of the Almighty that is the shelter which endures forever. So let's move on to example two, wheat and the weeds. This is the field that waits. So here, Jesus is telling this parable about he's got this field with wheat in it, and all of a sudden these weeds start to pop up. And so the servants, they were eager to get rid of these weeds. And he says, let's pull them out. Pull them out immediately. But the farmer says, no. Let them grow together until the harvest. Why would he do that? It was because pulling up the weeds might damage the wheat. You see, and so he says, leave it for a while, let them grow together. So from that we can see a picture of God's patience. So let's not muddle up God's patience with God's absence. Okay, they're not the same thing. He allows seasons of coexistence of good and evil. Okay, we see it around us today. Existence of strength and weakness, of faith and of doubt, because he sees the whole field of wheat and weeds. Now, some things that we see today, we would wish that God would remove them immediately. But the thing is, what we see as a lost cause, he is able yet to redeem tomorrow. And so there's another lesson here, a quiet one. It's a humbling one. And that is that we shouldn't be too quick to judge others. Okay, these servants, they had the right heart, they had the right intentions. They thought they knew exactly which plants needed weeding out. They were sure of it. But it is only the farmer who really knows for sure. He knows better. And so, our eyes, we only see the outward appearance. We see but glimpses of another person's behavior, just the surface. But God, he sees much deeper. And so there's no fooling him. And so it was just like that when he chose David and the little shepherd boy. He was the youngest, the smallest, who was overlooked by his brothers. It seems even overlooked by his father sometimes, because when they were all lined up to see who was going to be the next king, David wasn't even in there. He was busy tending the sheep. And so he was forgotten. And then these wonderful words of the Lord said, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So all these fine brothers, tall, strong, I don't know, but the Lord looked at the heart. And so for us, it is sometimes tempting to write people off. Okay, they're a lost cause. But are they wheat in the making? You see, some people that we see as weeds may well have hidden seeds of grace that we just cannot see yet. And so we must wait. We must be patient. And we must trust God, because he is the one who judges ultimately fairly. And so he lets the field grow together. He sees the righteous and the wicked grow together, but with patience, with an eye on God's understanding and his knowledge, we can rely on God's grace to do the right thing in the end. And so for our next example, the barren fig tree. So this is a parable where the tree gets another chance. So this fig tree, for years, has been there, and yet it's bearing no fruit. 3 years, nothing to show for it. Until finally the owner says, cut it down, I've had enough. It's using up valuable soil. But the gardener steps in and says, can you not give it just one more year? Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Let me work with it. And so there I see a picture of true grace. You see, grace gives us time. Grace gives us the space. Grace gives us another chance. But grace also expects fruit. And so, yes, God is patient. He's patient with each and every one of us. But don't misinterpret his patience with indifference. He still does care. He is the keen gardener who gets his hands dirty to ensure your growth. And so he digs, he nourishes, he tends, he waits. He is hopeful for that fruit. And here's the part that we sometimes miss, is that in this parable, there's this axe that is falling. Now, this isn't just theoretical, it is imminent. Okay, it is already at the root of the trees. And so that tells me that this tree is on borrowed time. So this is a warning woven into this story, is showing us mercy. So don't take God's patience for granted. See, none of us know how many more tomorrows we have left. See, the window of grace is indeed wide, but it is not endless. The prophets of old, long before Jesus told this parable, said, it was Isaiah, he said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near." And Paul echoes the same in the New Testament, where he writes, "Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." In other words, if God is stirring in your heart, don't wait. If the garden is digging around your life, don't resist. If he is calling you to repentance, don't delay. Grace may well give you another year, but do not squander that grace. Because grace also whispers, "I'm only here for a while. We don't know when it will run out." And then our next example, the cedar and the hyssop. So this is talking about King Solomon. He spoke about all manner of things, including plant life, from the mighty cedars of Lebanon to the tiny herb that grows out of walls. They're just for cleansing and for healing, whereas the cedar will support palaces and temples. Two very, very different plants. One is towering, one is tiny, but both are important. In the same way, in God's kingdom, size is not significant. So on the one hand, you've got the cedar that shelters, you've got the hyssop that purifies. Both have a crucial part to play. And here's what touches us today. When Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says that we are God's workmanship, his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. So each of us have got a crucial role to play. So in other words, you were made on purpose. You were made for a purpose. Some may be cut out like a cedar tree, you know, strong and steady, highly visible. Others may be more like a hyssop, small, unnoticed, perhaps just growing in the cracks. But God has a plan for both, a purpose and a calling for the large and the small. The Apostle Paul takes this even further when he writes to the church in Corinth. He says that the church is like a body. Each part is different, but each part is necessary. And he imagines the ear saying, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong." Or the eye saying to the hand, "I don't need you." See, Paul gently corrects this thinking. He says that God arranged the parts in the body, every one of us, just as he saw fit. See, if the whole body were an eye, there would be no hearing. If the whole body were an ear, there would be no smelling. If everyone had the same gift, it just wouldn't function. And so in the same way, for us today here, there are many parts, but one body, the body of Christ. And every part matters. So whether you feel like a towering cedar or a retiring hyssop, whether you feel like more than a hand or a foot, an eye or an ear, I can assure you that you belong. You belong in God's family. You are needed for God's kingdom work. You have a role that is just right for you. See, in God's body, in God's garden, there is no such thing as insignificant. So if you're starting to feel insignificant, that is a lie of the devil. Okay, you have worth, and Jesus loves you immensely. So to our final example, the vine. So this is the source of all life. Jesus gives us the clearest plant metaphor of all, where he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. I'm not a keen gardener myself, but I know that branches don't strain to produce fruit. They don't grit their teeth to be fruitful. They don't try harder. I think that they simply stay connected. You see, fruit, I believe, is not forced. Instead, fruit is formed. And Jesus says something else here, something that every gardener knows, is that to get the absolute most from a vine, the skilled gardener prunes it. Now, he strategically cuts off whatever hinders his ultimate goal of fruitfulness. Now, I imagine for the plant, pruning doesn't feel good. Okay, I guess it would sting. It feels like a loss. It feels like some sort of subtraction. But the truth is, pruning is not punishment. Pruning is preparation. So even though it may be painful, the gardener knows what he is doing. It might be painful in the short term, but in the long term, glorious. Then Jesus gives us one of the most sweeping statements of all scripture, where he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Is he exaggerating? Is he speaking poetically? Well, I think he means it literally. After all, we couldn't even breathe without him. And so God created us. He sustains us. Every heartbeat, every breath, every moment of every day, all flows from being connected to the vine, Jesus, the true vine. And so if he is the one who sustains us, then surely it follows that we must live a life for his glory in return. You see, our fruit is not for display. It's not to look pretty. It is for him. It is for the gardener. It is through him. It is because of him. Jesus says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. He doesn't say you might bear much fruit, or you probably will, or you most likely will. He says you will bear much fruit if you remain in him. And so abiding in him, connected to him, this is what it means to be a Christian. It's not just a set of rules of do's and don'ts. It is this life connection with our Lord and Saviour. See, everything else that flows is none other than the fruit of abiding in him. And so we need to stay close to the vine, to stay connected to the source of life. Everything that you long to become grows from that connection. So let me just draw to a close. After walking through God's garden, we've seen the leafy plant that comforts. Now, don't get too comfortable on the things that are temporary. We looked at the wheat and the weeds that grow together. So that teaches us, don't judge too soon. And then the barren fig tree, which demonstrates God's amazing patience with us. And then the cedar and the hyssop, which shows that each one of us has a place in God's kingdom work. And then most crucially of all, that he is the vine who gives us life. All these point to this one fundamental truth, is that everything we are, everything that we hope to become, everything God longs to grow in us, it all flows from being connected to our Lord Jesus. Not because we're impressive, but because God is faithful. When we remain connected to the vine, fruitfulness comes naturally. As Paul reminds us in Corinthians, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. In other words, each one of us has our own small part to play in our small corner of the vineyard. But the life, the growth, the fruitfulness, this is the miracle of God's work from beginning to end. And so we grow by abiding in Christ, abiding in the one who made us, abiding in the one who sustains us, being connected to the one who prunes us, painful as it may be, and abiding in the one who loves us to the very end. Amen. So as we draw our service to the close, we can sing another hymn that could become a personal prayer, a prayer of dedication, a prayer of lifelong service to the King of Kings. Dear Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Dear beloved, may you walk out today with the quiet confidence that you are planted by God, nourished by God, and indeed tended by God. May you hold earthly comforts lightly. May you trust God's timing deeply. May you receive his patience humbly. And may you embrace your purpose, whether cedar tall or hyssop small. And above all, may you continue to abide in the vine so that Christ may bear his fruit in you, fruit that lasts, fruit that blesses, fruit that glorifies the gardener of your soul. Amen.